workers, young and old alike, you're all invited to gather around your radio and listen carefully. By now, even the youngsters in the family must know the reason why they are unable to read about Dick Tracy, why they haven't heard from Joe Palooka in over a week, and just what has happened to Red Ryder and Little Beaver. No, it's not all a part of a dastardly plot to keep you away from your comic strip friends. Rather, it is a delivery strike that prevents you from learning all about these people. We hear all about General MacArthur's advances against the Japs during the news broadcasts over this station. But now here is some equally important news, the news of your favorite comic characters, as read for you tonight by Senator Ed Ford of the Can You Top This program.
Good evening, children. This is your Uncle Senator. Going to read the funnies to you. Isn't that good? Or is it? Well, I hope you all had a happy 4th of July. Now, let's do this way. Pull up your chairs to the radio. Get it close to the loudspeaker. Come on, George. Oscar. Charlie, you too, Fiorello. You know, incidentally, the mayor certainly did a grand job on Sunday reading the funnies. I just hope I'll do them half as well. There's one thing about reading the funnies tonight. At least I'm getting a chance to look at a newspaper, which I haven't seen in a week or so. Let's start with Chick Young's Blondie. The subtitle today is Dreadful Thought. Now, in the first scene, we have Alvin and Dagwood. And Alvin says, hi, Dagwood. Old beanbag? And Dagwood says, Alvin, you're the freshest kid in the neighborhood. Now, in the next panel here, we have the kid skipping rope. And Alvin says, I'll turn your rope for you, Cookie. The little Cookie just going to jump over the rope. She says, oh, thank you, Alvin. And out of the window, we see Dagwood. He's looking the whole situation over. And then they're in the living room, Dagwood and Mrs., and he has a terrible thought. He says, you know, I just had a terrible thought. What if Alvin becomes our son-in-law when he grows up? Then in the last picture, we see him picking up Cookie and running into the house with her, and he says, I won't take any chances. Well, here's Brandon Walsh's little Annie Rooney, my old pal Brandon Walsh. In the first scene here, we have Mr. Lacey and Dolly. They're having tea out in the open. There's some palm fronds showing there. And Mr. Lacey says, you have been deceiving me. Your beautiful, sophisticated mask hides a charitable heart. Now, she's a good-looking blonde, Dolly is. And Dolly says, so what? I'm only an amateur charity giver. But you're a Class A professional. And he says, oh, nonsense. I'm ashamed of how little I give. Dolly says, I know you're a wicked miser. That's why so many folks call you Santa Claus. And little Annie Rooney and the dog, they're standing off in the distance watching this, and she says to the little dog, she says, gee, Zero, isn't Mr. Lacey grand? When I told him Miss Dolly was helping poor folks, he felt glad all over. Well, who wouldn't when you help people? It's fine. That's the thing to do. Oh, Joe Palooka. I haven't seen Joe in a long time. Now, sitting on a bank here, overlooking the sea, is Jerry. That's Joe's pal. And he says, holy smokes, the place is crawling with sharks. If one got them, I'll never forgive myself for letting them go in. Then in the next panel, we find a couple of Nazis. We can only see their feet. I suppose they're Nazis. And in the water is Joe. And he says, when the submarine arrives, when the submarine arrives, we throw the searchlight on the buoy and signal that it marks the spot to lay to. Then in the last picture, we have Joe saying, wish they hadn't walked away, and I could have heard the rest. So he's coming by submarine. He'll probably have his face made over, and they'll pass him off as a Dutch planter, too. Swimming away on that one, on the punchline. Oh, here's bringing up father. Old George McManus's comic. Old man Jiggs is sitting in his office here. He has his hand on his desk. He's puffing a cigar, one eye closed. And he says, you know, since the baseball season started, Chuffy, the office boy, is about as hard to find as snow in the tropics. And then we find Chuffy. He's standing on a chair, one foot on the desk, one on the chair, and he's phoning. He says, hello, Mr. Jiggs. I have something to tell you. My grandmother just... And that's an unfinished speech. And then Jiggs over the other end of the phone says, I suppose you're going to tell me you're going to a funeral. Chuffy says, nope. I'm going to the ball game with her. She has two passes to the grandstand. Gosh, I have a grandmother who's playing in the big leagues right now. She's playing shortstop for one of the clubs. Let's see, we have Lank Leonard's Mickey Finn here. Well, Mickey, in the first picture, Mickey is talking to Mr. Mintmore and... I don't know who the old lady and the young gal are. You youngsters probably know. Mickey says, then you're not going to mention it when Uncle Phil comes down? Mr. Mintmore says, no, Mickey. Would only antagonize him. I let him tell me all about it, about her gradually. And in the next picture, we have Mickey and Mr. Mintmore talking some more, and Mickey says, but that will take a long time, and you didn't intend to stay in town. And Mr. Mintmore says, this is an emergency, Mickey. Now, you'd better wake him up and let him know I'm here. And Mickey starts up the stairs, and Mr. Mintmore says, and Mickey, let him think I just arrived so he won't suspect you've told me anything. Mickey says, okay. Starts up the stairs. Now, in the last picture, we have Mickey saying, that's right, Uncle Phil. It's Mr. Mintmore. And Uncle Phil says, hot diggity. Tell him I'll be right down. Well, here's Skippy. Well, Skippy. Two kids are, Skippy and another kid are leaning over a fence here, and Skippy says, a man told Uncle Louie he had some work for him to do of a Sunday. The other kid says, what kind of a job was it? And Skippy says, the screwball wanted Uncle Louie to blow his eyeglasses rounder on the outside. Well, here's Russ Westover's Tilly the Toiler. And the subtitle here is, An Explanation is Due. Tilly says, I'm sure Iggy's got something on Wally. He didn't deny it. And Wally says, in the office now, he's there with Iggy. He says, after all, Iggy, you've got something on me. And Iggy says, well, tell Tilly so, but that I'm not threatening you. Wally says, oh, that's too much. Iggy says, but I can't stay in wrong with her. If you don't tell her, it'll just be too bad. Wally says, say, if you aren't threatening me, just what are you doing? Little Abner. I don't believe I ever saw this one before. I know about it. It's Al Capp's great comic, but let's see. Here in a... This is something in this first panel here. We see a man in a quicksand, an old fella in a quicksand, and little Abner is standing on the bank, and the old fella says, help! Just clasp my hand and yank me out of this quicksand. And Abner says, gulp. I promised Mammy I would clasp nobody's hand. No how. Nothing doing. And he starts to run away. But I'll try to find someone who will. So don't go away. So he could in the quicksand. So the old man says, why can't you? Do you yell a dog? And just then a little feeble Joe comes running into the picture. And he says to Abney, he says, how come you didn't help him, you big lout? Has he got a sore hand? And Abner says, no, sir. My hand feels fine, thank you. The fellow in the quicksand, the old man in the quicksand, he says, you arrived in the nick of time there, Feeble Joe. And then seems to be a kind of a battle royal here in the last scene. They're batting each other. Feeble Joe is hitting Abner with a crutch, and the old man is jumping all over him and says, you heartless fiend, you miserable skunk, and ouch, Mammy knows best, says little Abner. Oh, gosh, it's Dick Tracy. Well, the first picture we find a truck, a laundry truck, with Breathless and Wet Wash in it. And Breathless says, I said I'd give you $500, not a penny more. Wet Wash says, okay, police station's in the next block. Now they're in, so we see the inside of the truck, and Wet Wash says, yes, sir, here we are. Breathless says, no, wait, don't, stop. I'll raise that to 1,000. Wet Wash says, well, now you're starting to talk. I won't turn you over to the cops, but I still don't like your proposition. He says 50-50 or nothing. So then we see Breathless tearing a sheet here, and she says he'll either do business my way or on my terms, or I'll tear up every piece of laundry in this truck. I'll show him. Now, let's see what we got. Oh, Terry and the Pirates. Well, from what I can gather here, Terry has a walkie-talkie, and he's with Hotshot Charlie and April Kane, and they're stranded on an island, kind of marooned. And Terry, with a little fellow, this Hotshot Charlie, says, Terry, as I understand it from previous installments here, that these kids were stranded on an island, they're waiting for American planes to come over, and there's one just flown over, and this little Hotshot Charlie says to Terry, he says, Terry, ask the Navy joker in the airplane if he'd care to handle my income tax after the war. He seems to love this paperwork. And Terry is in the walkie-talkie. He says, Defoe, this is Selkirk. Do you hear me? Over. And little April Kane says, Selkirk, this is Defoe. I hear you clearly. Oh, no, that comes out of the plane. Well, then out of the plane comes some more. Identify yourself and authenticate on request. Use code as designated. Over. Then we hear the walkie-talkie business with Terry doing the talking. Says, Defoe, this is Selkirk. Stand by to right. Trenton, Massachusetts. Boston, Massachusetts. Hartford, Georgia, Massachusetts. Break. Connecticut, Concord. Hartford, break. Umpire, catcher, right field, third base, right field. And Hotshot says, such jabber. Navy always acts as if there's a sub, Jap sub listening in. And in the last picture we do here, we see a Jap sub full of Japs, full of a lot of monkey-faced guys in there, and they're listening. And through their transmitter comes second base, third base, center field, break, over. Selkirk, this is Defoe. Authenticate, over. Defoe, this is Selkirk. I spell. Well, I don't suppose the Japs make anything out of that. Well, now we come down to tomorrow's installment of Joe Palooka, Ham Fisher. We find Joe climbing out over on the bank, and he says, hey. The fellow with a Tommy gun says, huh? And he says, criminy, I thought you was et by sharks. I was going nuts. He says, listen, I heard him talking. He's coming by sub. Do you realize something? We might make the biggest fall the world has ever known. Jerry, if we play our cards right, boy, now keep your fingers crossed, and that's to be continued the next day. Well, kids, it was a pleasure to do this job. I hope you liked it. Took me back to my boyhood days, too. But I haven't seen a comic or read, been interested in a comic since The Yellow Kid. That's an awful long time before any of you kids were ever born. Well, good night. Hope to do this again sometime.
Thanks on behalf of 7.5 million youngsters of New York City, for everyone who reads the comics is young in heart, and we all appreciate your consideration in coming down this evening to read the strips over the air for us. And remember, too, listeners, that as a special service for the duration of the New York City newspaper delivery strike, your city station will broadcast 2 daily comic strip roundups, the morning papers at 8.05 a.m., and the afternoon and evening papers at 6.15 p.m. as read by members of the Can You Top This program, with Peter Donald doing the honors tomorrow evening. Listen in, won't you? And remember to keep your dial at its present setting for all the latest world and local news. You are listening to New York City's own station, WNYC 8:30 on your dial.